You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
NFL preseason action starting tomorrow night. The Bills hosting Carolina. Pregame starting at 5 o'clock. Not only is the preseason underway, let's face it, fantasy football season is upon us. So we got to get you prepared. Drafts are happening. We want you to win your league. That's why we invite in the smartest, the best, the brightest minds in fantasy football. Guys like Bob Harris from Football Diehards joining us now in the sports bar. Bob, how you been?
I've been great. I was just going to say that I guess the smartest, the best, and the brightest weren't available. I will do in a pinch, though. I've been drafting a lot, so count on me, guys.
We always count on you, Bob. We had a trade here in Buffalo land where the Bills picking up Corey Coleman for a 7th round pick, and which, okay, the Browns couldn't get anything better than a 7th round pick. What am I missing here? Bob, what's your opinion? Give us a scouting report on Corey Coleman. What has Buffalo acquired in the former first rounder?
From a fantasy perspective, they finally found someone to maybe dilute Kelvin Benjamin's targets, making him no longer the lowest priced wide receiver one that I want to draft. Corey Coleman, if you saw Hard Knocks, you maybe saw a hint of why he was traded, just wasn't putting a lot of effort on the practice field. Very talented player, fast player, better at not catching with his face mask. That needs to be something he works on. But there's the Bills receiving core needed an injection of talent. We'll see if they got it. My thoughts are this. From a fantasy perspective, you know, hoping with LeSean McCoy, everything goes well for him and he's on the field, even at 30, even -3 starting offensive linemen, that is the fantasy player of interest. Charles Clay and Benjamin, kind of ancillary players in that regard. And if something happens with Coleman, nothing more than a waiver wire watch list kind of player for me at this point. Not even going to be throwing any best ball final flyers on him at this point.
Bob, I feel like one of the narratives this offseason moving into the preseason are the backfields, puzzling backfields. Seattle, Indianapolis, Cleveland, Green Bay, Denver. And maybe it's like this every year, but it feels like it's more amplified this year. Maybe you feel differently. I'm not sure. But I guess my question is, are you avoiding situations like those altogether? Or where is there value to be found in those backfields?
I think in some cases it's the cheapest option, and I don't know how much best ball you guys are playing. It's a set and forget. You draft, and you don't have to do any lineups. Your best lineup each week is selected for you. There are a lot of them out there. You can actually win money at them. So I play a lot of those. I'm probably up to about 50 drafts so far. In a lot of these cases, I want the cheapest option. And you know, when you look at Indianapolis, Marlon Mack is a guy I think is going a little overpriced. Look, he gets the first shot at the touches. But I think Nyheim Hines is a good satellite back, and Jordan Wilkins is a player to watch. He's the last guy going. In these best ball drafts, you can throw a last-round pick, a 17th-round pick, whatever, and maybe have that goal line piece of the puzzle. And that's kind of my approach with all of these. You mentioned Green Bay. Do I really want to invest an early pick in either Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones? Jones coming off will have a 2-game suspension. But two guys splitting basically one role, or do I want to wait later and spend a pick on Ty Montgomery, who seems to have the more established role of the three? I think you could say the same, you know, in Cleveland with Duke Johnson, although he's a little more expensive. I kind of want the guy with the defined roles in those. I don't want the guy splitting the workload. Denver, some of the rookie situations are worrisome just because what we're hearing right now. It should not be surprising that the veterans are getting the start to open training camp in the first week. So we hear Devontae Booker over Royce Freeman in Denver. Well, I've seen this I've seen the Booker thing go, right? they've been trying to pound that satellite backside peg into a feature backside role, and it hasn't worked. Royce Freeman is built for feature work. He's a big, powerful runner, handled every down work at Oregon. And so I expect him to eventually take over, whether it's week one or not. The same with Rashad Penny in Seattle. Yes, Chris Carson is the best bet. Well, if you listen to Pete Carroll, who is not the best player on earth? Name me one.
He's a pretty positive guy, Bob, yeah.
He is a pretty – so So I think you take these things at a grain of sand. You put the news in context. Although Ronald Jones in Tampa is a little worrisome because just talking to people I trust who are there on the ground, Peyton Barber looks really good, led the team in rushing last year. Seems like maybe they might be going for that New Orleans vibe with Jones as the Camara to Peyton's Ingram. So that's a little different. But think about what we're looking at in terms of draft capital invested. My friend Josh Norris from Roto World said earlier this year, teams lie constantly except when with how they invest their draft capital and spend their money. And that's why you look at a guy like Jerick McKinnon in San Francisco. You look at Kyle Shanahan's history with receiving backs, how productive they've been. And it dates back to his time in Houston with Steve Slayton, right? So then you look at the fact that Jerick McKinnon is suddenly the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL. I don't know if he'll succeed, but I guarantee you he gets every opportunity to succeed.
Bob Harris from Football Diehards, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Another situation. I think it's interesting you brought up how, by default, a lot of teams are just going to go to the veteran running back here early in the preseason. What about what's going on in Miami? Bob, I have respect for Frank Gore. I don't want Frank Gore on my fantasy team. I really like what Kenyon Drake did last year. They can't be serious that they're going to split time between Gore and Drake, right?
Well, you know, let's go ahead and add to that. Albert Wilson, the wide receiver they signed from Kansas City, is also suddenly going to see time in that backfield. You know, this is what happens when we look down the drinking straw, as I call it, during training camp. Because every day there has to be news, right? There are how many papers covering how many teams and national outlets, and everyone has to have a blurb, and everyone has to say something more than the other guy. Look, all this stuff is interesting, but it needs to be taken in the looked at in the bigger picture, not as single events. So when we hear Frank Gore is coming in and they're listed as co-starters and all these things to put in the context of what happened last year with Kenyon Drake when they went away from Jay Ajayi. And even Frank Gore admitted he can see why they moved on from Ajayi working with Drake. I think Gore will be a little bit of a fly in the ointment for Drake owners. But if he comes out and plays like we saw late last year, and this is a kid who's improved in a lot of areas, including when he came out of college, one of the worst pass blockers of that running back class, he got better at it. If he continues to work at his craft and makes it hard to take him off the field with his big play ability, you're going to get everything you expect out of him.
Bob Harris, Football Diehards, our guest in the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. And Bob, we evaluate and we scrutinize and we do our homework and we try to think, all right, what are we going to do with our first round pick? And depending on where you're drafting, you know, it's up for debate. There's one player, and I feel like we have this conversation every preseason. There's one player that I always think to myself, why isn't he considered a first-round draft pick? He's certainly somebody that you consider second-round, third-round, but why is it Gronk, given the scarcity of the position and the dominance that he's shown when he's healthy, why isn't Gronk a first-round draft pick in most leagues?
I think right now because there's such a solid selection of guys available ahead of him. For me, Gronkowski rarely makes it out of the second round. If you're drafting with me, he's going in the second round. You can almost guarantee it,
right?
You know, barring the fact that I am in the lot, maybe I diversify a little bit. But in my ideal strategy, I'm going tight end second. I think you can come around, you get a strong, you know, running back one is usually my approach. There's a lot of guys I feel comfortable with in round one as that strong running back. And if I miss out on those guys, there's, you know, the two, to me, two can't miss round one wide receivers, and you could extend that to three with Beckham. I'm talking Brown, Antonio. I'm talking Hopkins, DeAndre. And I'll throw Beckham in that mix, although, you know, there may be running backs I like a little more than him. But I think there's such a solid selection in the first round. I also think there's a fair amount of depth coming back around, especially if you pick early. Let's say you're one of the first four. You get one of those four anchor backs, the Gurley, Bell, Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. Come back around and get Gronk kind of late in the second round, and then come back around to the third, and you can pretty much have a great selection with some high-end running backs or a really top-notch wide receiver, because some of those guys are slipping down a little bit. The Mike Evanses are starting to slip down into that range, and I can live with that as my first wide receiver.
Bob Harris from Football Diehards is our guest. Are we feeling better about the Indianapolis Colts? Is drafting T.Y. Hilton now gambling on the health of Andrew Luck's shoulder? How do we feel about what we've seen so far out of Luck in Colts land?
I mean, it is very promising, right? And I, you know, certainly not where we were at this time last year. We've actually got some eyes on him. We'll get a little longer look at him tomorrow night in that exhibition opener. But I do think that Hilton, you know, traditionally been considered a boom or bust guy. He booms a lot more when he's with Andrew Luck. That said, I would think that, let's say the worst happens, and I have enough shares of Andrew Luck that I am pounding on a wooden block next to me right now. But think about it. Kobe Brissett, a full year as starter, a full off season, comes in with a new coaching staff, has been able to learn the offense from day one. He came in, you know, pretty late last year. So I think it would be better even if the worst case scenario came to pass. I just don't think it will. What we need to see is Luck the same guy he was before he was hurt, and that's going to take a little time. But I'm confident enough in the direction it's going that, yeah, I'm fine investing in Hilton. He's been a hell of a receiver playing with Andrew Luck.
Bob, if you're in a two-quarterback or super flex league, you might have to gamble on a rookie coming in to start at some point. So which rookie do you think will get the most opportunity at quarterback and provide his owners with the best value all season?
Boy, you know, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. I think Josh Rosen, from my view and, you know, studying up, seemed to be the most pro-ready of these guys. I like the fact that he goes into a Mike McCoy offense, because if the big complaint against Mike McCoy is his offenses are too complicated, what better than the quarterback that needs to be engaged mentally, right? The guy that gets bored. So, and I think that, you know, with David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald around him, there's increasing offensive line worries with A.Q. Shipley getting hurt, and it wasn't rock solid before. He's a guy I like. I don't think he's going to be – I don't – you know, some of that's going to be dependent on Sam Bradford. I think Darnold is probably going to be the first guy in, if not Josh Allen at some point. I mean, the thing about Buffalo is you've got three pretty unproven guys, and I don't have a strong feel for what direction that's going to go. So if I had to – if you made me pick one, it would be Darnold, because I think he has the clearest path. But I like Rosen better.
What about at the other end at quarterback? Because you did have, over the years, you had McCown with the Jets, Alex Smith, depending on when and you played them, they provided some value and you didn't really have to spend all that much. What veterans might go really, really cheap at quarterback if you don't want to spend at that position, Bob, that could help your team?
I think all of them. I think, you know, I'm big on drafting quarterbacks late, for the reason that you can get tons of guys. I mean, in the draft that I'm in, a lot of industry drafts, quarterbacks last forever as is. So I'm getting Matthew Stafford in double-digit rounds. I'm getting Phillip Rivers in double-digit rounds. You can take a flyer on Patrick Mahomes fairly late. Alex Smith goes crazy late. I think I feel very comfortable with him as my quarterback. Other guys going late. I mean, Blake Bortles, I know it sounds horrible, but, you know, the last 3 years, the number four finish, number nine finish, number 13 finish, and that was only because of the week 17 game. He was probably basically a top 12. There's a guy that's been essentially a top 12 quarterback every year for the last 3 years. Is it hit or miss? Yes. But if you're in a bind and you wait forever, you could do a hell of a lot worse than Blake Bortles. And some of these other guys doing that same race. Case Keenum might be comfortable with as well. And beyond that, you know, Ryan Tannehill may have some upside. Then you start getting worried, you know, with the Joe Flaccos. Is Lamar Jackson going to come in? Tyrod Taylor? Are we going to have, you know, are we going to have an issue with Baker Mayfield at some point? So it gets a little shaky after that point, but I'm pretty comfortable with any of those guys late.
Bob Harris of Football Diehards. In a second, we're going to tell you how you can see, read, and hear more of Bob's work. Before we get to that, Bob, of course, this is the time of season where fantasy football analysts such as yourself can stick their neck out on the line, make their bold predictions for the season. What is your flag to plant for 2018, Bob?
There's so many. I think Alex Collins is going to finish as a top 10 running back.
Wow.
I'll go with that one. Look, you're looking for clear paths. I know there's Javoris Allen. I know Kenneth Dixon, you know, he has yet to show the best ability of all availability. I think Collins, you look at him, finished 11th in the NFL in rushing last year, didn't start until well into the season, had some games where it was fairly light usage as well. I think if they give him a full season, he's going to be a guy that surprises everybody.
Bob, we have a question coming in from Twitter at ESPN Rochester. Chris wants to know, which rookie running back after Barkley has the most opportunity to start, and how well will he perform as a starter?
I think Darius Geis has a pretty clear path. It sounds, if we believe Chris Thompson, he's not going to be fully healthy until November. I think he will be healthy enough to play before then. But I think Geis is a guy that's being widely overlooked. I know he hasn't caught the ball. That's because nobody asked him to. If you listen to Alex Smith today, even, he's saying that he's a lot more versatile and more well-versed in the more well-rounded than we believe. I think he's the guy I'm looking at. Fairly solid offensive line if it stays clear of injuries. I've got a lot of shares with Darius Geis.
Folks, it's that time of year. You got to do your homework. Football Diehards is a great place to do so. Bob, how can people read more of your work?
They can go to footballdiehards.com and check it out. We just started our August update package, our premium service. If you bought one of our magazines, the Pro Forecast Draft Book, Football Diehards, or Cheat Sheets magazine, you get free, you know, August-long information, updated cheat sheets. We update them constantly, constant flow of news, all the tools and other goodies you can like. So definitely check it out at footballdiehards.com, and it's all there waiting for you right now.
I love it. Bob, we appreciate your time as always. It's great hearing your voice. It's great having you on to talk fantasy football as we get excited for the ride that's ahead of us, the 2018 NFL season.
I'm ready to rock. Let's do it more.
You got it. Bob Harris, yeah. Football Diehards, joining us in the sports bar. Bob, always great with his time. And if you missed any of that conversation or if you came in late, don't worry. We'll have it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
He brought up a great point when you're trying to look for a running back about Jerick McKinnon. I didn't realize the contract he signed, Danger.
Hefty.
4 years, $30 million?
Hefty.
Nearly $12 million in guarantees? In 2021, if it doesn't work out, their dead cap money would be $7.5 million. That's 4 years down the road. This has to work. They have to feed him the ball. I know they have, what, the lifetime contracts, Shanahan and Lynch out there, but what the heck are they doing there? This is Jerick McKinnon. Unless...
Hey, McKinnon's not a bad player. Right, yeah. I don't think McKinnon is a bad player. I mean, let's see. Let's see how it all shakes out. I would think for fantasy purposes, if you were looking for, in a PPR league especially, if you're looking for a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, you could do worse than Jerick McKinnon. I don't know how heavily you want to invest in him. I don't know where. He's probably one of those value guys, right? If you had him as your second running back, if you're fortunate enough to have one of the first four running backs, if you had a Todd Gurley or an Ezekiel Elliott and Jerick McKinnon was your RB2, I would be nervous to play that against that team. I wouldn't want to play against that team. That team might dominate me that way.
Well, that's the one guy that you could pick up maybe a little bit later because people will look on the surface and like, that guy? Nah, not that guy. Nah, different team, different situation,
yes.
And the money is going to have to justify production.
Great stuff from Bob Harris. Love talking fantasy football in the sports bar. Again, ESPNRochester.com. Shortly, we'll have that interview for you on demand if you missed any of it or if you came in late. Gino, completely forgot. We wanted to make sure that you had a chance to hear our conversation with Patrick DeMarco, Buffalo Bills fullback from training camp yesterday. We had Patrick on with us right after practice. He was soaking wet from the rain that came down yesterday morning at St. John Fisher College. And we talked to him yesterday after 5 o'clock. If you missed that conversation, we'll get that on for you here in about 15 minutes or so in the sports bar. But next, let's get to I'll Drink to That. Some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. I have a solution for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
I know how they can fix everything that's wrong with the Green Bay Packers. You've heard me say it before. I'm going to reiterate my stance, what the Green Bay Packers need to do for the benefit of their organization.
Okay.
That's coming up next, and I'll Drink to That. Gino, what do you got?
Yeah, the NCAA made a major, major move.
Oh, we haven't talked about this yet.
No. This is, I got to say, this is, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to have to give the NCAA credit, and college basketball might be better in a few years because of it.
Okay. I'll Drink to That is on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester with another Bills Camp Live update.
Bills General Manager Brandon Bean explains what led to the Bills acquiring wide receiver Corey Coleman from the Browns for a 7th round pick in the 2020 draft.
Scouted him in college. We actually did a private with him, and so got to know him a little bit, and you know, his makeup and all that. You can't coach speed, and we're always looking to add it. So that was one of the attractive things of him coming out, and he still got that. We're trying to get better at every position. That's the reality. And maybe sometimes you're looking harder at certain positions where the competition's unsettled. We view it as a fresh start here to earn and compete, and there's nothing guaranteed here. He's got to come in and earn it. whether it's a starting job or just a job on the 53.
For the latest from St. John Fisher College, listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia for Bills Camp Live, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.